Greetings. This is James Gillen with As You Wish Talk Radio on the BBS Network. And we've got a great show. We've got Maria Wheatley, and she's a second-generation dowser, and she's the author of 5 books. And she's also kind of, I guess she's been investigating Stonehenge and Avery and all these other sacred spots. And so she's kind of given us a heads up on what's happening with these vortexes and these power centers, you know, on the planet. And without any further ado, I'll bring her on. So, Maria, are you with us?
Yes. Hi, James.
Hey, what is the best place to get a hold of your books? I know you're the author of at least 5 books.
That's right. The best place to get the books is at my website, theaveburyexperience.co.uk, or just go to esotericcollege.com, and there's a shop on both sites, and you can just have a browse and have a look around.
Great. I know there's so much to talk about in As You Wish Talk Radio. We basically say this is your show, you know, so wherever you want to go with this, whatever you feel is important to talk about, you know, for these times that we're going through, you know, feel free. I'd like to talk a little bit about what's happening with the vortexes right now and how they've been, and a lot of the sacred sites, how they've been kind of shutting them down and not allowing people to come in and do any kind of meditation or ceremony or things of that nature. So whatever you want to talk about, feel free.
Yeah, I mean, for example, just taking one country alone with some fantastic and deeply ancient and very feminine ancient sites such as Malta. Over the past 5 years, I've noticed through taking groups there to do energy work there, it's been more and more and more blocked off. And it's because the vortex energy, the earth energies there, and what we say in the UK, the earth voltages that really affect the standing stones that are sighted upon them, are becoming very, very powerful. I mean, it's not just about when you take a group there, switching one person on, you know, and raising their consciousness up. It's about group activities, groups going there and raising their consciousness. And Malta is a real power center for that. And it's interesting to note that when you go to one of the sites, Hajjaim complex in Malta, it's very, very ancient. And one person in the group just broke rank, James. They decided they were going to go way into the site, even though they were, you know, going to get thrown out, to see what it was like compared to where the public are allowed to see, in effect. So he went under the ropes and right into the heart of the ancient site and said it seemed much older, more complex in design, and very, very powerful. And within about 2 minutes, security came, got his mobile phone, took every single picture off, deleted it, and basically slung him out. But the point of that is, the deeper that you go into these ancient sites, the more powerful they're becoming and the more we're denied access to them. And it's the same in Egypt.
Mm-hmm. So, you know, what do you think? Why do you think they feel this is such a threat?
Because it's about knowing yourself, your place, understanding the kind of polarity that we have from within us, like the divine feminine and the masculine. And these sites seem to bring it all together. And some sites are very, very balancing. And with experiencing the energies there, you're literally brought more into your natural self. Because, I mean, a lot of us have become disconnected from the earth with our busy, active lives. And some other people are remembering who we were. And sacred sites and visiting them is becoming more and more important for some people to reactivate their kind of ancient DNA in a way.
It's funny, recently I've been meditating, I've been getting this really strong message about, and you've probably already written these books, but about writing something about how, you know, like Chief Seattle says, the more you remove man from nature, the more you harden his heart. And then you see how these corporations have become soulless, you know, and they're just profit driven. And you put all that together, and it's unbelievable how ridiculous things are getting on the planet, you know, this patriarchal structure and the, you know, run by the intellect alone, that's totally disconnected from nature. I think that's why we have so many of the problems like chemtrails and you know, all the toxins and all the other things going on the planet because of humanity's total disconnect.
Yes, and the interesting thing about stone circles and ancient sites in Northwest Europe is that when you do go into the space where the energies are strongest, in places like Malta, it's called the holiest of holies, you know, you can literally feel yourself becoming connected to the ancient past. And it's interesting to note that a lot of the ancient sites are sited above very, very deep underground water that in itself is a memory vortex. You know, it's a holds on to the past as because water has memory. So there's many different ways that you can interact with particular types of energies at ancient sites. You could do it through the element of the earth, through earth energies, the element of water, through water and through air and through fire. I mean, it's about the whole four elements at an ancient site coming together for wholeness.
Mm-hmm. I know that. I know a lot of the Dr. Emoto's work. There's Dr. Emoto with an I and Dr. Emoto who preceded him. And I was doing some work with him and they're proving that water actually can carry DNA, the patterns of DNA. So you really think about it, maybe that ancient DNA is in that water. It's an ancient water, maybe ancient sites. Yeah, I know stone really holds a frequency and memories. You know, probably put all that together, there's probably some pretty interesting information there.
Yes, and when I've taken groups to do some work with the waters at ancient sites, and the first thing that we begin to do is cleanse our own body water over the water, so you kind of feel, you know, fresh, and then you can connect with it. So many people share similar stories of the ancient past. I mean, for example, one lady felt, not that just that she sensed it, she didn't actually see anything, but she felt a real kind of pull and draw and connect to this person from the ancient past. And you find that a lot. It's like we all have our own guardians at an ancient site, and that guardian can recognize us almost and come forth and interact with us. So it's like the people of the past become alive again when we interact with the water of the ancient sites.
You know, it's interesting. I've noticed too, when you find places with a lot of negative ions, there's always a lot of orbs, light spheres around those places. And I'm wondering if the negative ions and the water, the misting, brings that out or allows them to manifest in more of a physical form.
Oh, absolutely. I can remember one time when I was waiting for the late and the great Dolores Cannon to lead her group around Stonehenge. I just felt guided to start taking, you know, photographs, and it was kind of like dusk. No, it was morning rather. So it was like twilighty light. And there was this massive, massive orb, near enough the size of Stonehenge, right above Stonehenge, not like small orbs. This was massive. And Dolores reproduced it in one of her books because it was literally the same diameter as the stone circle below.
Wow. Yeah, that's we've had some here. We have a pyramid here that we built on right on a ley line. And we get these golden orbs that are like 30 feet wide and on up. And, you know, coming off this pyramid, which is quite interesting. You know, we have to get you out here to the ranch because I think you'll be like a kid in a candy store. Yeah, we've got the river on the eastern border, and then we have two major ley lines that cross here, right in the middle. And what I found from west to east is the way they travel is like this orb highway, and they come in from the west and they go right down this ley line. And I mean, there's sometimes it just looks like full on traffic jam. There's so many orbs traveling on this. on the ley line, and we filmed it. And some of these orbs are massive that come through, and they interact with people. And we have a lot of photographs of that as well.
Gosh, that sounds, you know, absolutely incredible. And it's really interesting to note, comparing leys from like the Druid tradition, as it were, one of the most very sacred, same as water, that flows west to east or east to west, is deemed the most sacred. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I've got a, I know what's interesting too is that I was using, you know, my dowsing rods, and I doused out where the well goes here on the property, and we hit a river, and an underground river, basically, and it is flowing from west to east. Are you there?
Yeah. Hello, can you hear me?
Oh, yeah, we're here. Yeah, it dropped off for a second.
Oh, I don't know why that is.
Well, it's typical. We have so much interference here. We have three lines that go out for the computers and two phone lines and hotspot. And lately, all of them have been just going down and going off, and especially during my radio show at 8 o'clock.
They
like to play around with it, but
sure. Yeah,
definitely getting a lot of interference. But anyway, going back to these ley lines, the lines are just, there's something going on this property, because we have, the Hopi elders, it's like a Hopi tradition, galactic medicine well we have on the property. And I used divining rods to find out where it went, and we actually put it right on one of the ley lines, and underneath it is that river, I guess, that travels, and all the star nations are represented inside of this medicine wheel, and we flew a drone over it and took pictures of it, and although when we laid it out, it was just all done by hand. It's the geometry is perfect on it. You know, it's amazing.
Wow.
From the air.
Well, what excellent work it sounds like you're doing there. And in the ancient design canon tradition of the ancestors of the megalithic building programs, which they were the first two elements decreed sacred to interact with one another, the feminine elements of earth and water. So it sounds like you're bingo on the money there.
Yeah,
it's amazing.
Yeah. You know, it's funny, people walk into this wheel and just have complete breakdowns. You know, in a good way, you know, and some people actually shift out of, they go interdimensional. You can see their bodies phasing out and coming back in, and they reconnect with their star nations, you know, their ancient ancestors. And it's just amazing watching the transitions.
Yeah, that sounds truly marvelous and quite fantastic. And also with lays, that might be something worth looking for, James, with your dowsing rod, is to see if the lays are connected with earth currents, because quite often it's been discovered in the UK that where you have a major lay, and that west to east one sounds, you know, sounds very, very major to me, it may have an earth current entwining it in a kind of like a conducive style. And that brings a lot more energy to the lay as well. So I'd look out for that as well. They're classified as like living sentient earth currents that entwine a lay.
Yeah, that makes sense. I'll check into that. So they usually follow right down the same line or intertwine with the same line?
Well, normally, say you've got a major lay, you will have a kind of gentle earth current that's deemed female yin, but still very powerful in its own right. And that kind of yin current, like a bending, meandering river, could be maybe four miles away from the major lay. But it will look out for things like springs, low valleys, feminine-shaped breast type of hills. It will target those, but it will be sort of never more than usually 5 miles away. And then its consort, the male earth current that can entwine the lay, will seek out the more higher masculine shaped hills and go higher than the lower hills that the female energy would look for. And in ancient China, they were looked as the dragon and the white tiger. So I feel that because it's such a powerful landscape, you're going to have these living earth currents associated with the lay. And sometimes all three come together in one place. So you'll get the lay, and then you'll get like a crossing point of the male and the female earth currents. And that is deemed very, very, very sacred. And that could even be occurring, but without you knowing it, you know, like the medicine wheel or something nearby. Or sometimes, James, the earth currents will avoid a circle, be that a stone circle or a medicine wheel, for example, but embrace it each side, like protect it. So encircle around it. So that could be going on, but I think it would be certainly worth looking for.
Yeah, I have a feeling that is what's going to happen, that both the currents are intersecting here. And because it is very balanced, you know, we try to keep it balanced. And I know, you know, in most venues, for some reason, they you know, feel threatened by the divine feminine or the intuitive part. And I think it goes back to ancient times when the women were more intuitive and they're more connected to the source, and they would call the men out on their crap, you know. And and so the it goes back a long ways. And I think that's basically why the patriarchal programs came forward, you know, and that's where the original threat is coming from, because, you know, they would get caught in their mischief or whatever, or they would forget about, you know, you know, grandmothers and mothers don't send their kids to war, and they don't destroy the planet, you know, and things like that. You know, they're if they are in touch with their feminine, they're not going to be doing those things. And it, I don't know what happened or what Creator's plan was when he you know, hooked up.
Yeah, sure.
But I think maybe that's what we're all about, is going away and coming back, you know, coming back to balance.
Exactly. And I really do feel this is echoed in the most ancient temple spaces, because when we look at a stone circle, for example, or an ancient temple space, it will be built in different phases. And one of those phases is often coined the Neolithic by archaeologists. And that's the kind of older phase of a monument. And then, say, for example, 500 years later, during what's called over here the Bronze Age, which is around about 2500 BC, if we're to believe those timelines anyway, but they are built in different phases. Now, when we go way, way back to the first phase of all monuments in the UK and across Europe, they are dedicated and aligned and associated intimately so with the moon, which was always deemed the goddess and the feminine. So the heart of most ancient sites is definitely lunar associations. Even Stonehenge Phase 1 was lunar, which we could envision people going there at night, you know, following priestesses and aligned to particular lunar events that really do make that time the most potent divine feminine time, which is associated to the moon's metonic cycle, for example. So I do feel that the divine feminine started all of the ancient sites. And by going to these older parts within a temple space or within a stone circle, people just naturally connect there. You can see their faces change. You can see sometimes their skin tone changing, like coming healthier back into themselves, back into a creative mindset that can be truly inspiring for some.
Yeah, and that goes back to why I guess this would be such a threat, because when people come back into balance and get in touch with their heart and the feminine side of themselves, you know, they won't, you know, be in step with the status quo or the powers that were, you might say, that are fast imploding. But I'm curious about are you sensing changes in these sacred places and the ley lines and things of that nature lately?
Yes, I have, because I've been interacting with the ancient sites since, you know, the mid-80s. So I've been going to Stonehenge numerous times. So anything energetically changes, you know, one senses. And I have found, you know, gradually over the past 5 or so years, the volume is going up. And it's going quite high, and the more the frequencies are going up, the more that you're, you know, moved away from the monument. So I think they're coming back for like a reboot, into an energetic reboot, and that's and I think that disturbs, you know, some powers that be. And James, I'd just like to say at this point, what's happening at Stonehenge now, because of the increase in frequencies, which Earth mysteries, people like myself associate with the sun and the Earth, incidentally, which I'll come to in a moment. But, you know, the only free way of getting to Stonehenge is by two ancient trackways, which are leys, okay? And they have just been cordoned off. there is now hardly any access to Stonehenge. It is going to be soon utterly and utterly controlled. And there's some of us putting out petitions and, you know, talking to the government and the media about this. But that's what I mean. They're now saying, no, you can't even come along a track that's about, you know, 500 meters away from the stones anyway.
Mm-hmm. That makes sense. You know, they're... we are getting more and more into these control patterns. And I think in a way they're just being activated and people are seeing them so they can make a stand and say, hey, enough's enough. Now I know the cosmic ray index is off the scale right now, as far as the cosmic rays coming into the planet and all the other rays as well. But the Schumann resonance, I know, has been going off the scale. It went up to 1,000 last Easter, I think, and then back down again. So that ties into you know, the Earth's grid and shifts in the Earth's grid. So that would make sense that all the ley lines and the intersections and the power spots or vortexes would also be probably even more activated.
Yes, and when it's contained within a temple space or in a stone circle or a medicine wheel, as investigators over here see it, is the energy can be quite contained within that circle, and it kind of goes round and round the circumference, and creating what's called a kind of real strong spin energy by the stones themselves, let alone the kind of vortex in the middle, because everything is acting and interacting all of the time. One part isn't sort of separate to the other, and as you enter these energy fields, that's when the changes, you know, really do happen. And we noticed a divide in the prehistoric past, when the older monuments that were run by women, probably, and a priestess cult, all aligned to the moon. That was the kind of early Neolithic. So we're going back about 5,500 years. Then when it came to the Bronze Age, that's when the male dominance started with the ancient sites. And the whole culture changed literally over a couple of generations. So no longer was the moon deemed the most sacred celestial orb. All the sites got moved to the sun, to the solar, to the masculine force. And the land went under a massive change as well. And kingship was born. So in the Neolithic of the early monuments like long barrows and cove features, that was for us. That was the theme. This is ours. This is for us to share. And during the solar masculine phase of the ancient sites, it became, this is mine. This is my land. And you had massive ditches being built all by the ancient sites and say, no, that is mine. And that's where a big shift changed. And you know what? It's like that shift is now hopefully reverting back more to the previous lunar phases. And that's the shift that's happening, I feel. The ancient sites are going back to the future almost, you know, changing their own energetic levels to that which was.
Yeah, I've been seeing lately, people have different names for it. Some people call it the Shekinah energies, the divine feminine energies, and are coming in really strong right now. And we've been getting a lot of energy coming in from the Pleiades, which is more of a matriarchal society, coming in really strong right now. And and a lot of the other feminine energies going up through the other cultures as well. And I've actually had these Anunnaki beings appearing to me, and they, you know, they're 8 foot tall beings, and they look like Cameron Diaz, and they're just, you know, projecting so much love from them. And, you know, talking about a different story, you know, how things got hijacked in the past, and how the fall, you know, the fallen Anunnakis, and how they actually made pacts with the reptilians, with Marduk and those guys, and what a mess. And they're saying they're coming back now to clean that up, you know, to reset everything. You know, also too, the Palladians said that, you know, the earth was created to be an Eden, you know, where the physical could reach, evolve to its highest potential, and it got hijacked as well. But it seems like we're going to go through a huge reset with the help of these other beings that are coming in. And the earth itself, I think she has her destiny or her cycle a natural cycle where she's evolving too to the next level.
Yes, and I think for some of the huge megalithic complexes that are aligned to a lunar event, there's a big lunar event coming up, for example, at Stonehenge. It's just that most people don't talk about the lunar side of Stonehenge. They think about the midsummer sunrise over the Healstone and, you know, say something enough times and that becomes the only focus. But the much earlier, stronger focus is towards the moon, when the full moon in its cycle rises beautifully so above the Healstone, more accurate than any sunrise. And that's going to happen in 2019. So that's around the corner, you know, and that's when there's going to be a huge influence on the British lay system. And one of those lines that go through Stonehenge is a massive global one that loops the planet. So I think that's going to be a kickstart, as it were.
Yeah, I was in Joshua Tree not too long ago doing a conference there. And there's a place called Giant Rock. Have you ever heard of that? Have you ever been out there?
I've heard of the Joshua Tree through Contact in the Desert events, but I haven't heard of the other one. No, James.
And they have it's where all the Native American, the elders used to go. But they steer everybody to this one place where Giant Rock. But if you go a little further, there's a crystal mountain. The whole mountain is made of crystal. It's amazing. And you stand on it and you see these fracture lines going out from it. And and these lines are just full of crystal. It's just amazing. And you're like right on the point of the grid. And from what I understand, when you talk to the elders, that's where they used to gather, not at Giant Rock. And we went out there to that mountain, and I stood on that mountain. We started clearing energy and clearing out any ancestors that needed help. And we actually photographed the whole thing. You can see the beings coming in and clearing, and then the energy shifting from kind of grayish orbs to like purple flames. And then we actually had missing time there, and we had two ships appear to us. And then when we came back, you could see right through us the film, you know, showed us as transparent. It was really bizarre.
Wow.
Yeah. And then we had a lot of time was like, after that, for about an hour and a half, time just wasn't working right for us the way it's supposed to. But it was pretty trippy. And they actually left little crystal monuments in the middle of us that while we were gone, these inner earth beings came and left these crystal monuments in the middle of us, and none of us built these. We don't know where they came from, and it was a pretty interesting event. But boy, that would be a good one to do ceremony at that time. You know, have a bunch of women go out there and do a major ceremony, because I think that mountain and that crystal grid goes all throughout the earth.
And that's Crystal Mountain. You say that's called?
Well, there is no name for it. That there probably is a name for it, but nobody really knows what it's called. you just go further. You just go further past where they let you go. You just keep going in further.
Yeah. Well, that sounds truly remarkable and extraordinary spirit of place there. I mean, that's truly astonishing. And it's an absolute wonder to hear this, because, you know, all around the world, it seems that these energetic power places are bringing forth new energy, new life, you know, new beings coming through and changing who we are and where we're going.
Yeah, exactly. And I think we can participate in that. And I think we have to participate in that, because I think it's like anything, we have to initiate a lot of the energies, and some are going to do their own thing, but it really helps for us here on the planet to initiate these energies and ask for help and ask for help from the higher dimensional beings, you know, to help get us through this shift. Because I know they really, the higher you go, the more they honor free will, and they don't really involve themselves unless they're invited. The lower ones will jump in anytime they can, you know, which brings back to these, I think that's why they're trying to control the vortexes, because I've seen there are people that are buying the land around these, especially down in Mexico, they have these massive stones and they all fit together and they're sacred places where beings appear and are singing, you know, in the sky and things like that. And there's people that have actually bought these properties and fenced them all off. You know, the locals can't get in there anymore. And there seems to be a real effort to control these vortexes or these sacred power spots.
Yes, I mean that seems to be, you know, the case. You know, even like we described earlier with the ancient sites, you know, your rights are being eroded getting towards these places. But you know, energy is energy, and it will like you said, James, it wants to interact. It's not like something that is just stagnant. It wants to almost reach out, you know, hand in hand and heart to heart to work together. Certainly, the earth energies are like that. So they can become a part of us as well, and anything put into, you know, these sacred spaces, you know, be that, you know, crystal, the nameless crystal mountain, or you know, Stonehenge itself, things that go into these energy systems, you know, they change right on the kind of DNA level, like water, you know, emoto, etc. Anything that enters these spaces will eventually change. And I think that's a kind of wonder as well. The whole thing can change with beginning with these ancient places. And that's why, you know, tourism is going up all over the world. And in America, you know, I haven't heard of Crystal Mountain, but I've heard of, you know, the places in New England. They're supposed to be very powerful. And you have the Stonehenge, the equivalent of Stonehenge over there with Dennis Stone. So, you know, you have loads of amazing sites yourself over there, all active, and some long lost ones as well that were equally fascinating.
Yeah, there's it just seems to be there's, and now some other things have happened. Have you been to Mount Shasta?
No, I haven't.
Yeah, something really strange happened at Mount Shasta, and it was known as a power spot, you know, and had some incredible energy. In the past 3 or 4 years, I've gone there and I go, what's going on? They're like nobody home. There's something really changed here. And I usually go there and I tap into the mountain and I connect with somebody, and I've seen the beings come out of the mountain and everything, and just zip, not even an answer. And so I talked to some other remote viewers, and they told me that the beings actually left. The people that lived underneath the mountain there left because it got too commercial, and there was a major influxuation of you know, the black projects and things like that. And they were just getting trespassed upon so much that they finally just decided to pack it up and go. And I actually think most of them came up here, from what I understand, to the mountain that we're facing. It's Mount Adams. And Mount Adams is still a wilderness area. It's like it's very pristine, and nobody's going up there other than some hikers now and then. But what's interesting is that the more I looked into that, and then the other remote viewers validated it, and I know other people that are psychics that are for real, you know, not the drugstore psychic, you know.
Good expression.
yeah. But they all said the same thing. They said something's happened, like the Archons took over and over there. And I think one of the problems is a lot of people invited it because they got so commercial and so off track, and there was so much drugs and other things going on up there, and you know, that it just became so commercial that it's losing. I think it's going to be reestablished again in the future, but right now it seems a bit empty.
Well, that is truly fascinating that you should say that, James, because over the past, you know, few years or so, I've been taking people more to the less commercial places, you know, which have ancient sites, stone circles and barrows and things, compared to, say, Stonehenge and Avebury and Silbury, which are very famous places. And it is what you've described. It's almost like the energies have shifted and they have gone there, and they are really, really powerful and ready to speak to anybody, you know, that has the kind of gentle ears to hear and the spirit to see. So I think, yes, the kind of less noisy, the less commercial places, they're coming into immense, beautiful power.
Mm-hmm. You know, one thing I've also noticed too is some of these areas have been experiencing massive forest fires in the area. And I think that's nature, you know, cleansing up, cleansing things up a bit, you know, trying to purify the area. But I know that's also been kind of exacerbated by the chemtrails now. They're spraying like thermite and sulfur. And you know, they come and dump this stuff on the fires, and you think that it's fire retardant and they're trying to put it out, but they're actually doing the opposite. They want them to burn hotter and longer.
Oh, gosh.
Pretty crazy.
Yes, that sounds, that does sound absolutely crazy.
Yeah, I think we've allowed pure insanity to govern us, and I think there's going to be a big cleanup globally here real soon, because I've noticed that the more you climb the ladder of power and wealth, the darker it gets, and then you start going into unseen negative influences and you know, these Illuminati guys and things like that that actually have given up their humanity and something else is operating them. And it's just, but I'm just seeing a big shift. You know, the puppet masters are being taken out. The puppets are going down, and in both the major corporations and the political arena, that's all going to go through a massive cleanup, and hopefully we can get back on track.
Yes, and I think, you know, we are, and we're all writing that chapter together. You know, we may be using a different color pen in different parts of the world, but I think, you know, we are all writing these chapters, and it is an exciting time. And like I say, I feel in about 2019, when the lunar energies are really intense, that's going to be a very beautiful time for us and for the planet and for the ancient sites.
Yeah, it does. It just seems like, from my understanding, and I know the sacred places and the power spots or whatever are on the grid are being activated. And I'm really feeling like even they talk about, the Palladians talk about how they use natural cycles to work within those natural cycles and use the energies of, you know, planetary alignments and things like that to do a lot of their work. And it does make sense that there is a giant cosmic clock, you might say, that certain events are happening on this clock, and they know the clock, and they're going to use this clock to turn things around.
Yes, and looking at one particular lay in the UK that links Stonehenge to Avebury and other sites along the line, it was discovered in an antiquarian's library in sort of about the 1800s. That's like our Victorian era, at a reverend's house, actually. It seems that all the Christian reverends had good occult libraries back in the Victorian era in England. But nonetheless, there was a kind of map found of a lay linking all of these sites. But more than that, and you might get a lay like this, you know, in the US, or even, you know, on your ranch, could be considered. So you've got sort of seven or so sites, let's say, in a straight line, and then you have one site that's going to represent the planet Gaia, Earth. Could be anywhere on that line, for instance. And then circles are kind of drawn around the sites, creating the planets, the orbits of the planets around. So it's like a planetary lay system. Okay, so in about sort of, you know, the heyday of Stonehenge, all of the planets did align in the heavens to mirror these places below that represented the planets. So Stonehenge would represent Saturn in this planetary sphere, and a place called Mardenhenge, which is ruinous today, but back in 4,500 years ago, it was a fantastic site. It's called Marden, which represents the settlement of Mars. So I agree, you have all of these alignments that were laid down thousands of years ago that can be reactivated at that time. And the interesting thing about that lay system, which I've spoken about and written about before, is that the ancients were using the astronomical unit, the mean astronomical unit from the Earth to a planet, and laying the sacred sites out like that below in the ground. It's really connecting the planets to Mother Earth.
Mm-hmm. You know, I had a dream once, and it was really interesting. And in the dream, I was part of a Druid society, like the White Druids. And we used to go to Stonehenge in this dream. It was very vivid. And I would stand in the middle of the circle, and the rocks were all aligned in a certain way that charged energy to the center. And you would stand in there, and you'd start glowing, and you could actually throw energy balls out of your hands, you know, in this dream. It was quite interesting. And then I saw that there was another group. There was a dark Druid group, and in order to keep the peace, we had different times that we came into the circle. But the energy balls, when you'd throw one of these energy balls out, it would, if it hit somebody, it wouldn't kill them. It would only hit them as hard as their darkness, you might say, as hard as whatever the densities they're holding on to. It actually had a healing quality to it, but it would knock you on your butt if you're holding a lot of heavy energy. But it's interesting, but I felt like it, you know, what I felt like all these different star nations were combined, and you could, if you stood in the middle, you could both communicate and be charged by energies come in from different star nations. I don't know if that makes any sense, but it was a really vivid dream, you know, when I had it, and maybe that is what's going on in the past there. I'm not sure.
Well, I think it's certainly going on today, you know, with dark groups going there and light groups going there. I mean, that is a certainty. Mm-hmm. Absolutely so, you know, by the shadow governments as well. They use Stonehenge, and people do still go there. But again, you have that balanced off with the more of the light workers that go there. Mm-hmm. But it's interesting what you say about the kind of, you know, energy and those energy balls. I'm going to give it a go next time I'm there, James.
Yeah.
Actually, this is in the name of James from the USA. So when you do go to a less known stone circle, and you have lesser known ones that are equally fantastic, called like Castlerigg and Swinside and Stanton Drew, and they have their original avenues. That's how you would enter a stone circle. I don't know if that's how you have a medicine wheel. You go in between stones to get there. It's like an avenue of stones, and then you enter that way. Yeah. But when you go through those avenue stones in a quite an intact stone circle, you actually feel the heat coming off the standing stones. And I mentioned to the group before we went in there, you know, you'll feel the heat coming off the stones, and you always get that one kind of person, oh yeah, sort of, you know, attitude, you know the sort of thing, gosh. But yes, they instantly felt that heat radiating. And so I can see where you're coming from with the dream. The energies there, they literally are warming you to the site as well. And I think it's really lovely. And what we've noticed in some of the stone circles over here, for example, you get it at Avebury, you get it at numerous stone circles, you'll have one carved like a spine. You know, like your spine kind of sticks out a little bit, as it were, doesn't it, down your back. Uh-huh. You get stones that are just like that, that have a kind of spine ridge. And if you put your spine against that standing stone, that is immensely rebalancing and healing quite instantaneously for like the chakra system and the whole person as well. And I often call those, just nickname them, the spine stone. So I think that was the kind of real healing area within an ancient site itself.
You know, it'd be interesting is to, if you could figure out a way to find out what that frequency is coming off of that stone, or and then broadcast it, you know. So, you know, find a way, you know, because you could use the cell phone towers and everything else, and rather than broadcast all the other nonsense, you could use them as like a Rife tower and broadcast the healing frequencies, you know, for whatever, you know, was going on. But I always think about it as soon as we get in the right mind here and this shift happens, I think you can take all this technology on the planet and start using it correctly. You know, you could send out, you know, the frequency of enlightenment or the frequency of balance or whatever, you know, even the cure for cancer or cure for a lot of the plagues, which I think most of them are man-made, you know, that and messing with humanity for God knows how long.
Well, yeah, I mean, that tradition of healing and frequencies and standing stone is almost going back centuries here in the UK and Europe, and especially so around hold stones, you know, a stone that's got a perforation in it, a big hole that you can either, you know, put your body through or your hand through or your arm through. And a lot of people do say that if you go to these hold stones, as we call them, and put a limb or your whole body through, it's like a whole scanning system occurring where you do again get that healing vibration. And it would, and I am sure that's what the lays and the earth currents were doing initially, sending the energies of, you know, all of the ancient sites into the whole system that surrounds Gaia for balance. And planets that, you know, kind of interact with these lays as well, like I mentioned earlier, that solar system lay system, they seem to really do trigger earth changes as well. Like, it's been noticed that Uranus, if that's above a particular lays, that can trigger volcanoes and, you know, events like that. So I think these shifts are happening with the help of the solar system and as you describe, the star beings as well. We're getting some help.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, my big question is, how come nobody channels anybody from Uranus? You know, it's like, you know, they're always going, I'm from the Pleiades, I'm Arcturian, I'm Andromedan, you know, but I not once have I heard anybody say I'm channeling somebody from Uranus, you know.
Oh, he's loving that. Yeah. No, that's a good point though. That's an absolute scream.
Yeah, well, I think I'm gonna start channeling someone from.
I'll be right behind you.
I've got an idea who, but I don't think I want to say it on the air. But it's some pretty good humor. But anyway, yeah, it's kind of hilarious out there. I guess Uranus actually represents change, you know, and a quickening and a lot of movement and things like that, I really feel that's what we're going to be going through here in the next 2 months. It's like intense change. You know, between now and November, I think a lot of this dark heart stuff is going to be cleaned up and we're going to be on a complete reset.
Well, yes. I mean, these sort of sacred times of the year and the ancient kind of Druid calendars that's incorporated into stone circles with sunrises and moonrises, etc. You know, November is the start of the Celtic year. It's a very sacred time. It's not just about the ancestors and communicating to them, dressing up and getting candy, as you guys say. We say sweets. Yeah. But so it's about that whole new year element about it. So November is one of the most sacred times in the whole of the Druidic calendar, actually.
Yeah, that makes sense because, you know, in my meditations, I keep getting November, like it's going to be the big turning point. But up between now and November, there's going to be a lot of cleanup that is going to go on before we get that flip. So that does make sense. And even the white hats are saying November too, which is interesting that there's going to be a complete shift, you know, by November. So everything seems to be going in that direction.
Yeah. I mean, we call that Samhain, is the first of November. It's also a time not just representing the new year, but a time when the veil is very, very thin. It's at its thinnest at Samhain. So the things can really come in and change and manifest. And also the eve before, you know, October the 31st, which was Christianized to Halloween, the eve, that's the time where the energies are really accumulating and getting very strong for the new year. So what one does in the eve, and that's where we get all of, you know, Christmas Eve from, it's a Druidic tradition of the energies are the strongest, and that's when, you know, one contemplates what one wants to manifest. Yeah, on the eve, and then it will come through on New Year's Day, 1st of November. So it's a very, very strong and powerful time.
I think it'd be a great idea to get a group meditation, get a major group meditation on that day or on the eve, and really focus on just totally resetting, you know, the planet and the grids and everything, and get everything back on, you know, more of a fifth dimensional or Christ consciousness, whatever you want to call it, you know, Kuan Yin, Mary consciousness, and move it in that direction. I think that's why I keep getting pushed on November. That's probably a good time to try to put together some kind of a world healing meditation.
Oh, for sure. And when we look to some of the kind of oldest sites in the British Isles, they are in Ireland. Some of the sites in Ireland predate Stonehenge by 1,000 years. You know, they are very, very ancient. Mm-hmm. And within that wonderful Emerald Isle, because it always rains, so everything's extra green in Ireland. It's always raining. But some of those really, really ancient sites, they are aligned to Samhain. Far, far before it was the summer solstice, you know, they're later sites when the kind of dates got shifted to more the masculine power, which was, you know, the midsummer. So Samhain is considered in the yin part of the year because in the northern hemisphere, they're dark nights, you know, it's a time to become introverted and look within for self-change. So even the sites in Ireland reflect that power, like the Mound of Hostages at Tara. And I think Trump's going to Ireland, isn't he, in November?
Probably. I'm not really too much following the political arena, other than watching all the shifts happening. And you know, it's just like...
Sure, best way to be.
Yeah, it's hard watching it because you watch the main, I call it the lamestream news, and everything they say is a lie, and the politicians that are trying to keep the deep state together and keep all the deception going. And it's just like when you're aware and you're awake and you watch these guys, you can't even watch them. I can't even listen to this person, you know, because you can pick up the energies coming from them and what they're really about. So anyway, I try to not focus on that too much, and
sure,
or more the positive side, you know, where this is all going to come be changing here really quickly.
Yes, but I sense that if indeed he does go there, I think he will go naturally to the Mound of Hostages, because it's the place where all of the Irish kings were inaugurated. Mm-hmm. It's quite, but that will change. That will shift something within him. I always say to people when, you know, I go to places, especially places like Egypt, where everything is really, really, you know, very, very strong and very tall, and everything is very overwhelming at times. Is that as soon as you enter one of these sites, you are in that altered state of consciousness. You may not think it. You may think you're still wandering around with your camera and your mobile phone, and everything is, you know, the same. But that's where it's very wrong. And those amazing shifting moments are occurring. And sometimes they ask us to align to the light or the dark.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I've seen over and over. I know Trump did put a huge panel together, and I noticed there's mostly women on it, and it was the shift in, and I was told that, like, Mary, her, you know, the divine feminine energy, and by the way, when I talk about Mother Mary or Mary Magdalene or that Mary energy, it's, I'm not talking about Catholic tradition. They're universal beings and work on energy, but the what's happening right now is I notice is that energy is coming in intensely, and it's coming through these panels, which actually set up to put an end to all the child trafficking and pedophile stuff and things like that. And there's mostly women on these panels, which is great. And to me, I've always felt that you know, we need to be governed by a council of grandmothers, you know, hooked up to a galactic a galactic council, you might say, and then things will turn around and get back on track, you know, using universal law as the foundation.
Yes, I mean that does sound, you know, a wonder, and I certainly will hope and pray that one day that does occur. That's for sure. So yes, yeah, so I think you've selected a very good date, James, in a very steeped in a magical tradition of change.
Great. You know, we're at the end of the hour. Unfortunately, we could go on forever, but what is the best way to get in contact with you if people want to find out more about your work?
Yeah, sure. Go to esotericcollege.com or look at my site, theaveburyexperience.co.uk.
Awesome. Hey, well, I can't thank you enough for coming on the show. It's great talking with you. I mean, I've got some homework after talking to you. I need to go out and check some things out. But anyway, again, let's stay in touch and maybe we can all work together on this meditation.
That'll be wonderful. Thanks for having me, James. It's been a delight.
All right. All right. Unfortunately, we're out of time, folks. This is James Gunn with As You Wish Talk Radio signing off. Have a great evening. Good night.